All right, so I'm going to ask the PowerPoint team to put a picture up on the screens. And I'm going to ask a question to the youngest children that we have in the room. The youngest children, what animal is this? Who's the youngest person who can answer me? Is it a horse? Yeah, thank you. All right, so now I have a question for the slightly older children. I want you children to imagine a world where there are no machines, there are no engines, there's nothing that runs on electricity. In that kind of world, what good is a horse? Davion. Yeah, farmers use it to pull a cart around, or you can transport things. Yeah, they're strong, aren't they? What else? Adela? Getting around, yeah, transportation. You can ride a horse. Adela, why is it better to get on a horse than just use your feet? It's faster, yeah, and you can go a lot further in a day. So, yeah, you can ride by horse. Horses are very useful. What else are they good for? Any other ideas? Yeah, Jamel.
Your
plows on a farm. Yeah, they're very strong, so they're good for pulling a plow. You can use a horse for that. What else are they good for? Yeah. Yes, battle. They're great for battle. Why are horses great in battle? Yeah, Della. They're fast. Yeah, you can carry a weapon or a lance and you can move really fast. Why else are they good in battle? Yeah, Dash. Yes, and they make the warrior higher. So if you're riding a horse, your sword's at head height, you can lop people's heads off. And your head's far above the weapons, right? So they make you high, yeah. And also, horses are extremely brave, right? One of the characteristics that they have is they're brave in battle. They don't get worried by noises or blood or fear. They're very fierce. And another thing about horses is they can be trained, right? We can't ride a lot of animals because they can't be trained. They're wild. But horses, they start off wild, but they can be broken in. There's a magical moment that happens in the training of a horse while you're breaking it in where it submits. It's dude, and it submits to the trainer. All right, so horses, pretty great, right? Well, without machines, horses were probably the most valuable thing on earth for getting work done, for doing battle, and they're very strong. And so if you go online and you Google king on his horse, you can find hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pictures of that, paintings. Here's one. This is King Charles I astride his great horse. And I remember when I was a child in school, we took a school trip to the National Gallery in London, Trafalgar Square. And this was probably, I think, the first painting that we saw on the tour. We sat down to painting. The real thing is, I don't know, 20 feet square. It's like as big as a wall, massive painting. And we sat here, and the guide at the museum was telling us about this painting. Now, we were asked, what do we notice? What do we notice about this painting? As you look at, this is the king, and he's sitting on his horse. It's a bit small. It's a lot smaller for you guys. But what do you notice? Any children notice something special about this painting? Yeah, Adela. Yes, he's wearing armor. Do you see he's wearing shiny armor with his sword at his side? So this is the king who wants to be known as a king who's mighty in battle. Yeah, what else do you see? Bethany.
He's riding a horse.
Yes, he is riding a horse. Now, is there anything a bit strange about that horse, do you think? Yeah, what do you think, Rowan? Yeah, it's really big, isn't it? We've never seen a horse that looks like that. Look at the thickness of that neck and the chest. Like, this is like the Dwayne Johnson of horses. And it seems that a horse like this never really existed, and the painters exaggerated the rippling muscles down the back legs and that huge chest. So horses were a symbol then of power and great strength and authority. Okay, here's another picture, and we'll come back to our youngest children for what is this? It's a donkey! Yeah, so this is a donkey, and he's a lot smaller than a horse, and this is actually kind of a kid donkey called a colt, a baby donkey less than 3 years old. And this is the very kind of donkey, being a colt, that Jesus would have ridden. We don't know what breed it was. Children, then, does a donkey look kind of like a horse? Do you think? Yeah. But what's different between the horse and the donkey? Davion? Stubborn, yeah, right. So the horse can be trained, the donkey's kind of stubborn. That's a good point. What else? Yeah.
Smaller.
Much smaller, yeah, especially a colt, yeah. So the scripture says he'd never been ridden on, which probably meant he was pretty clumsy, right? Awkward, not used to having a rider. Jesus was probably stumbling his way down that Mount of Olives. Yeah, what else? Yeah, their legs are shorter, they're not glorious and muscular. What else, David? Yeah, they're not as strong as horses, they're not as brave as horses. So kind of like a donkey's just not really as good as a horse in any kind of way, right? Not in any kind of way, it's just a dumb old donkey. They're not fast, they're not strong, they're not tall, they're not brave. All right, so I want us to see again the difference. So here we are. We've got a horse, majestic, glorious, fast, brave, mighty, the transport of the king. And then here's our donkey, small and slow, used by farmers and poor people, right? Now, donkeys are better than nothing. You take a donkey over nothing at all. Sometimes a donkey's just what you need. Here's the next picture of how we still use donkeys today. Here, people coming out of the Grand Canyon. Anybody ever ridden a donkey into the Grand Canyon? Yeah, some of you have. Okay, great. So this is one of the uses we still have for donkeys, but we don't use them in battle. No use at all. Okay, so let's go back to our donkey. And here is the animal that King Jesus chose to ride. Isn't that kind of striking? Jesus specifically told his disciples, he told them to go ahead into the town and get this animal, right? So it was kind of a miraculous setup. He went over and he just asked didn't even ask the owners. They just untied the colt and took him away, and the owners said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "The Lord has need of it." So because of the way that Jesus got this donkey, we kind of reason he could have had anything, right? He could have had anything he wanted. If he wanted a horse, he could have had a horse. If he wanted an elephant, probably could have had an elephant. I think he probably could have ridden in on a dragon if he'd wanted. But no, Jesus chose a donkey, right? And he chose this donkey for a reason. And we find the part of this reason when we read in the prophecy of Zechariah, which we heard, okay? So listen again to what Zechariah said. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, on a foal of a donkey." So Zechariah in his prophecy was very specific, not even just any old donkey, but a donkey colt, and that's just as it truly happened. Zechariah in his prophecy said that this would be a symbol of the coming of the true king, the Messiah. And he also said that when people saw this symbol, they would break into song, they would cry aloud, they would shout for joy. And that's exactly as it happened on the first Palm Sunday. If you get on your Google image search and you say king riding a donkey, you get nothing. Nothing. There's hundreds on a horse. No one. The only person on a donkey you'll find is Jesus. And then there's a dumb movie called King Donkey, which gets most of the image hits. But you don't find any kings riding donkeys, right? So this is very, very unusual. And so the people shouting Hosanna, they were realizing this was the prophecy of Zechariah. It was very specific. This was their humble king coming to them. And they expected then that the rest of the prophecy in Zechariah chapter 9 was going to be fulfilled in their time. And when you read the rest of the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9, it talks about the end of war. It talks about victory. It talks about conquest. Did you notice that as we read it? It says, "No oppressor shall again march over them." No oppressor. Like maybe Rome? And then in the verse right after the donkey passage in Zechariah 9, it says, "I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow I shall break. And I shall speak peace to the nations, and his rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Does that sound like a pretty amazing prophecy? Does that sound like the end of time when war is ended and peace is established on the earth? So I think we can forgive the people in the Palm Sunday parade for thinking that this was it. This was the day. This sounds like a king who's going to defeat all of Israel's enemies and bring lasting peace. And I think this is what was really exciting the people on the first Palm Sunday. They wanted a king who would fight. They wanted a king who was going to defeat all their enemies. They wanted a king who was going to rule and establish the world with peace. Is that what they got? Did they get a king who would fight a battle and establish peace? Exactly. Thank you, Karen. Not in the way they were expecting. So they did have a king who was going to fight a battle. Jesus was going to go to the cross. He was going to fight a brave and mighty battle, and he was going to defeat Satan, and he was going to end sin, and he's going to conquer death. And that's kind of the greatest battle that's ever been fought. That was a fight that was going to take him to the cross instead of the battlefield. And he was going to, therefore, establish peace between people and God. So the prophecy was true, but it wasn't fulfilled yet in the way that they were expecting. So here's what I want us to know today so that we don't get surprised and get Jesus wrong. What we need to know is that it's donkey now, horse later. Donkey now, horse later. So I'm going to put another picture up on the screen. This is from a children's book called The Story of God, Our King. Look at this wonderful picture that they've drawn here of Jesus on his horse. All right, so Jesus has ridden the donkey, but he does have a horse after all. This is what it says in Revelation chapter 19. Look at this picture while I read this. Then John saw this revelation and he said, "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So what the people of the first Palm Sunday were expecting was going to happen in their time, it wasn't wrong. It is going to happen. It's just going to happen later. Donkey now, horse later. Zechariah wasn't wrong about the things in the rest of his prophecy. He was just seeing ahead to things that still haven't happened yet. And this part that's in this book is a good part of the story. Jesus gets on his horse, and that's going to be glad news for the whole world. Lots of good things are going to come when Jesus does get on his white horse. But for now, we're still in the time of the donkey. So let's have this donkey up on screen one more time. And I want to challenge us that maybe this time of the donkey is even more glad and joyful than the time of the horse. That's a challenge for me. I find the idea of the horse fighting fast and strong and decisive. The donkey's maybe a little bit slow and boring. But no, Jesus on a donkey is exciting. The donkey means that he's gentle, that he's coming to save people, not to judge them. He's coming to bring people life and not to destroy them. It's good that we have another day today, a day of the donkey instead of the horse. The first people cried out in worship and they shouted Hosanna when they saw the donkey. And it's just like the praises spontaneously just burst out of them all at once. Luke wrote that on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. And they were right. That was right. And so I want to encourage us, especially today, to let the praises of our King flow out of us, to let them pour out of us. What mighty works have you seen? Has your Lord done anything for you lately? Has he answered any of the cries of your heart? Has God made a way where there seemed to be no way? Has he shone a light of hope when there was no hope? Has he given you what you could not or should not have? The horse is coming later, and that's important for our hope, but the donkey is already here, and that's important for our joy. So rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Your king has come to you. Amen.